And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, I'm going to talk to you about a very important topic. I believe it could be one of the most important that I've ever discussed with you. You know, I've always considered the people who listen to Power of Prophecy radio program as my family, as my friends. I feel that we can sit down together, as we're doing right now, and examine world history, current events. We can talk using logic and reason, and yet it's okay to use our emotions to talk about the hurt, the pain that we have. All of us suffer, of course, one tribulation or another in our lifetime, but it's our responsibility, our duty as friends, as family, to hear each other's burdens and to help one another. I feel in a certain sort of way that all the world also is our family. I may be different than other people. Of course, I'm a patriotic Texan. I love the city I live in. Austin, Texas, the capital of Texas. I'm patriotic toward it, even to my old high school. A few years back, I went and saw Port Neches Groves High School, where I graduated, a little town in East Texas, and they won the state football championship, and they literally had 50,000 people come to the game. That's how popular high school football, Friday Night Lights, they call it, are in Texas. But America is my country. And on the other hand, each of us who know Jesus Christ realize we're citizens of yet another country. That's right. Heavenly Jerusalem. We really are part of the family of God through Jesus Christ, through faith. But I want to emphasize today that there is another reality. It is that the world has well over 6 billion people now. Some say that planet Earth has 7 billion people. I believe that you and I have a responsibility to all 7 billion. You say, how can I possibly be responsible? Oh, yes. Yes, we are. Jesus himself in the Gospel of Mark told his people to go forth into all the world preaching the gospel. And whosoever will may come. All the world. I've seen a lot of the world, not as much as some people, but I spent 3 years in Europe. I lived there. 2 years, or is it three? I can't even remember now, in Asia. Throughout the United States, Mexico, Canada, and so forth. I've seen poverty. I've seen good people, bad people. But everywhere I've gone, I have loved the people. I love the people of Thailand, of Guam, of Japan. I love the people of Belgium and Germany, Italy, where I lived. I know we have our favorites. We're Americans. This is our favorite country. It should be. But believe me, my friends, everything that you see on this earth will someday not exist. You, in your form, your flesh and blood, bones, corpuscles, cells, will not exist. 200 years from now, your body will be dust. It's your spirit, your soul, that will live on and be in one place or the other, hell or heaven. But while we're here on this planet, it is our job, our responsibility to care for for other people. To have compassion for other people. I want to talk to you today. And excuse me for breaking up, but I want to talk to you today about compassion. Compassion. Reading a book this last week. I have it in front of me. It's one of the saddest books I've ever read. It's written by a Jewish man named Ilan Pappe, P-A-P-P-E. It's entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. Ilan Pappe is perhaps Israel's bravest, most principled, most reliable historian. I have other books. I have a 2-volume encyclopedia, huge books, entitled The Encyclopedia of the Palestine Problem. I've read those books too. I've read many books about Palestine, Israel, and the fate of the Palestinian people. And a lot of people don't really give a fingernail for the people of Palestine. But I do. A lot of people say they're Arabs. They can go to hell. I don't say that. Others say, I don't care if they're tortured, beaten, raped, women have their heads cut off, the skulls of babies are crushed by evil, monstrous beast. I don't care about the Palestinian people. But I want to make it clear to you today. I do. I love the Palestinian people as much as I love the Israeli people. The people of Austin, Texas, the people of Toledo, Ohio, of Los Angeles, California, New York City, Columbus, Ohio. I do. I want more than anything for the people of Palestine, some of whom are Christian, most of whom are Muslim, to know the truth of Jesus Christ. I want to treat the people of Palestine and Israel and Egypt and Uruguay and Mexico with dignity, with love, with compassion. If we say we have no love and compassion for the people of Palestine or any suffering nation, then the Spirit of Jesus Christ is not in us, and we do lie if we say we are a Christian. Ilan Pappe has done a great thing in writing this book. I'm sure that he is hated by many of his countrymen in Israel and Jews around the world. The reason why is because he writes an honest book. And he tells how the nation of Israel came to be in 1948 and what incredible, horrible suffering and terror was visited on the peaceful people of Palestine. Now you may say, this is a long ago issue, 1948. My, that's 62 or so years ago. I was alive back then. I didn't know about this. I was only a young little boy. But the events that occurred in 1948 in the nation of Palestine are no different than what occurred this very year as 11 ships, a humanitarian flotilla, in international waters with food, with drinking water, were headed to Palestine, to the region called Gaza, because those people are starving to death, are thirsting to death. They have no medicine. They have nothing. And they're surrounded by Israeli forces, snipers shooting them, killing them. Tanks that come in whenever they want. helicopter gunships massacring men, women, children. And this humanitarian flotilla came in, not with any guns, not with weapons, but with food and water. But they were intercepted by the trained, deadly commandos of Israel. And you know what happened? Now, some people are going to say, well, it's God's will that the Israelis, the Jews, take Israel. But is it? Now, I want to explain something to you, dear friends. It may be God's will for you to own a certain home yourself, a piece of land. If God is good and gracious enough to tell you in your heart, I'm going to give you, dear sister Sarah or brother Jack, a piece of land, a home. Well, good for you. But I assure you, I guarantee you by the authority of the word of God that God does not empower you to take a flamethrower to expel the people that now own the home without paying them one cent of compensation, to take armed forces, armed guards, armed troops, expel the people that now presently live in that promised home. And after you rounded them up outside that home, God has not empowered you to use a flamethrower to burn them all to death, to take bayonets and slice through the hearts of infants in the arms of mothers, to bash in the heads of old men and to steal their property so that you can walk into that home on that land and say, God gave this to me and he wanted me to massacre all the people that were here. Why should I pay for it? God has given it to me. And you to stand there gloating, arrogantly boasting of the great thing you did for God in killing and murder. No, dear friends. No, dear friends. Do you not see? You know, in America, we have what they call an immigration problem. Mexicans coming across the border. Officially, they say there are 12 million Mexicans, but many believe there's as many as 35 to 40 million illegal aliens in America, most of them Mexican. The state of Texas has approximately 23 million people. What if, oh, say, 100 million Mexicans, all armed by perhaps Russia or China, came across the border en masse, and they told the people of Texas, we used to own Texas. It was our land. God wants us to have it back. And they went from village and to village and town to town and city to city. And we who live here peacefully, our guns, we don't have any. Thankfully, a lot of Texans have guns. They'd fight back. But what if we had no arms and they have tanks and they have all kinds of military weaponry, machine guns, flamethrowers? What if they began to kill? Would you flee? Yes, you would. And what if they took over Texas this way and they set up a second republic of Mexico? Would you simply say, well, it was divine choice. It was divine right. Good for the Mexicans. And as far as the Texan Americans that were dead, murdered, killed, massacred, raped, plundered, so what? Who cares about them? They're not really human beings. Only Mexicans are human beings, not Americans. I'm glad the Americans are dead. I'm glad the Mexicans took back their land that America stole from them, those Anglos stole from the brown-skinned Mexicans all those years ago. I'm glad those Texans are dead. Good for the Mexicans. Praise God for them. Is that what you would say? the Bible has much to say about the Jews. I am not going to cut corners today. I want you to know what Jesus said about the Jews. You see, Jesus could see the future. Jesus could see the future, and he knew what the Jews really were, what they had done in past history, what they were going to do. And I want to tell you something today, friends. They may be a minority in America and the world, but they have the hammer. The Jews have the hammer. And someday in the future, during the Jewish festival of Purim, which celebrates their genocide and massacre, by the way, of over 75,000 Persians. That's what the Purim holiday is for the Jews. A celebration of massacre, of genocide, of Gentiles by the Jews. So next time you hear about Purim being celebrated by the Jews, why don't you Judaizers, you Zionist lovers, why don't you go celebrate with the Jews their massacre of over 75,000 Gentiles? That's what the annual festival of Purim is all about. An orgy of killing by Jews of Gentiles. What did Jesus have to say? I love the words of Jesus. He didn't mince words. He didn't cut corners. He didn't try to hide the facts. He could see the future. He was God. You better listen to him, dear friends. He said to the Jews, this is Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 31, beginning with verse 31. He says, wherefore, they talk to the Jews, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Let me stop right there. I was reading the Jewish Talmud this very weekend. Oh, I read the Jewish Talmud, the most holy book. They revere it and honor it more than the Old Testament. And you know, in the Talmud, he explains the killing, the murder by the Jewish people of the prophet Isaiah. I was reading about it. Guess what the Council of Rabbis has written in their most holy book? They say that their prophet Isaiah was justifiably killed by the people. Because Isaiah, and by the way, you can read this in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah told the people of Israel of their evils, of their evil imaginations, of their evil acts. And he told them, what you're doing is not of God. And then he said, you have unclean lips. In other words, they were liars. When you say a man's got unclean lips, you're not talking about the food that goes into his mouth, the fact that he didn't brush his teeth. You're talking about the fact that he is a liar. And Isaiah said, you people of Israel, you are liars. And what does their most holy book say about this? They said, because Isaiah called the divine Israel liars, that they had unclean lips, he was worthy of death. He deserved to die. That's why he died. And they're right. They did kill him. Even Jesus, they say, deserved. The Talmud, their most holy book, says he deserved to die. He was a blasphemer. And in their Talmud, it says that Jesus today, after being cruelly killed, justifiably, of course, is now burning in human waste, excrement, boiling excrement in hell forever. That's Jesus' fate. That's what they say in their Talmud. I've read the Quran of the Muslims over and over. I went through one edition underlining every bad thing I could find, but I couldn't find anything much, especially about Jesus. In the Quran, the Muslims say he was a great man. He was a holy prophet. Now, unfortunately, very regrettably for them and their fate, the Muslims say in their Quran that Jesus was not God, that he never died on the cross and was resurrected. Yes, they say he was a wonderful man, a man of God. They say that Jesus is coming again and that God is going to empower him to defeat the devil when he returns. Jesus is going to come back to earth and defeat the devil and the Antichrist. They say he's in importance as a prophet only just a little bit behind Muhammad. So it's God or Allah, and then Muhammad, and then Jesus, then the rest of us. He's up in heaven, a great prophet, Jesus. And his mother, Mary, blessed be her name, they say in the Quran. Now I'm still going to try to reach every Muslim I can for Jesus. I'm sorry, they don't understand what the New Testament tells us is true. They're wrong about that. But at least they say these wonderful things about Jesus. What does the most holy book of the Jews say? They say Mary was a whore. They say she actually had sex with a Roman centurion. They say Jesus was an illegitimate bastard. They say Jesus deserved to die. Here's what Jesus said, though. I don't care what the Jews say. I care what Jesus said. He says, "Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourself," to the Jews, "that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents," he says, "ye generation of vipers." That's race. Generation there means a race of people. "How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore," said Jesus, "behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill," that's future, "and crucify. And some of them shall ye scourge," that's beat, torture, "in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city." And they did that. In city after city, they persecuted the apostles and other Christians and demanded that the Romans allow the prophets and the apostles and Christians to be tortured and imprisoned and killed. And what is the destiny then of these evil Jews throughout history for doing such? Verse 35, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. "That upon you," he said, "may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar." Now, the interesting thing about this is, at that time, the prophet Zacharias had been murdered right there in the temple, back between the temple and the altar. Nobody knew who did it. It was a great mystery. Some said it was a foreigner. Some said it had to be, because no Jew would ever slay a prophet. Zacharias. Jesus said, "I know you did it. I saw you doing it. You're responsible for the blood of Zacharias. And it happened between the temple and the altar." Nothing escapes the sight of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell the people of Palestine today, hundreds of thousands have been killed, massacred, tortured, their property taken. Jesus saw it all. Jesus sees everything. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Verse 36, Jesus gave a prophecy. He said, "Verily I say unto you," to the Jews now, "all these things shall come upon this generation," this race, this physical nation, the house of Israel. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and ye would not." Jesus said, "I would have loved to have brought peace among you. I would have loved to consider you as my children. But you didn't want that. You rejected it. Ye would not. And what is the prophecy? Verse 38, Jesus says, behold, your house, the house of Israel, is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Your house, the house of Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, are left desolate until Jesus returns. Desolate, void of morality, devoid of any faith, of absolutely no value whatsoever. No spiritual value, nothing left. I don't care if the Jews own Wall Street. I don't care if they own NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox News. I don't care if they control the Barack Obama White House, and they do. It doesn't matter. Spiritually, they have nothing. They are desolate. They're empty vessels. Jesus, by the way, had another prophecy about a man who swept his house clean. Oh, he swept it clean. And he thought the devils had left him. Or the devil that was possessing him. That's Israel. It swept his house clean now. It restored itself in 1948. We're back again. We're godly. We're clean. We're pure. We've rid this country of the Palestinians. We've driven them out. We massacred. We killed them. We frightened them. They left. They're refugees. We don't care. They can live in tent cities, whatever. We, the great Jews, now have Israel again. We can get on to restoring the great kingdom of Solomon, of David, of Herod even. Ah, yes. They boast. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. Their house is left unto them desolate. They have nothing. They have nothing. By the way, Revelation 11, and Book of Revelation, now prophecy. The nation of Israel and Jerusalem is actually given a new name by God, a spiritual name. Sodom and Egypt. That's how evil God knows they are. And in Revelation 18, God calls them that great city. The Jews, that great city. Responsible for the blood of all who have ever died. All the murders, all the bloodshed on the face of the earth since the day when Cain slew Abel. Read about it. Revelation 18, verse 24. You say, Tex, that's not fair to make the Jews responsible and guilty for all the blood that's ever been shed. Don't tell me what's fair. I'm telling you what God ordained. I'm telling you what God prescribed. I'm telling you what God prophesied. I'm telling you what God is going to do or has done. Now, when we come back, we're going to look at this ethnic cleansing of Palestine. We're going to look also at another book by my good friend, Reverend Ted Pike, entitled Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. Incredible information. You must have these two books. Stay with us, friends. We'll be right back. This is Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. This is Tex Mars again. You know, I have two great books for you today. Elon Pappe, P-A-P-P-E. His fantastic book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. It's a book that's scholarly and yet is easy to read. It's about 313 pages with footnotes and references. 313 pages. We ask for your gift of $20 for this book. We also have another book called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma by Pastor Ted or Theodore Pike, P-I-K-E. So either the book Pappe, by Pappe, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, or the book Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. Either one, $20. Now, please, for either book, add $5 shipping and handling. For both books, you could just send $50 and we'll send you both of the books. Okay? $50 for both of the books. Ilian Pappy's The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine or Ted Pike's Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. You know, the book written by Reverend Pike is absolutely brilliant, academic, scholarly, and it'll tell you everything you want to know about Israel today, about their Kabbalah, about their amulets and their magical charms and their satanic rituals. He'll tell you how the Jews were responsible for the communist murders of so many tens of millions in the Soviet Union. He talks also about the ethnic cleansing of Palestine in this book. He says, yes, this is the great harlot. This is part of the beast system, the Jews and their return to Israel. He will also talk to you in this book about Revelation 11 and the two witnesses that are slain by Israel in the last days and lay on the streets of the city of Jerusalem as the whole world gives gifts and celebrates their deaths. That's right. Israel is going to be such a powerful nation on earth with its Jewish billionaires spread through all the nations and in control of the governments of the world that the great two witnesses of God will be slain, will lay dead in the streets of Jerusalem, and the whole world will even exchange gifts. They'll be so happy the people of Jesus Christ are dead. You say, that's not possible. We Christians are too many. They would never massacre us. They would never start a genocide of us. My friends, you don't know about the genocides. You don't understand about the ethnic cleansing that the Jews have already done in many cases and are going to do again to you and me. Martin Luther wrote a book one time. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer. It was entitled The Jews and Their Lies. He said, if they could, they would kill not only me, but would kill every Christian in the whole world, if they could. Well, now they're taking over government after government, doing it covertly, secretly, behind the scenes, and pretty soon they will be able to do exactly that. Did you know that in the Jewish holy book, the Talmud, it says, quote, the best of the Gentiles kill? You see, they don't use the Old Testament. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not kill. But the Jews say, wait, 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 we have a whole new law. We have a whole new book. We don't care what the Old Testament says. The rabbis say, this is what we believe in. The best of the Gentiles kill. They even call us snakes. They say the heads of the snakes smash. You say, Tex, you don't know what you're talking about. No, no, you're the one that doesn't know what you're talking about. I have the Jewish Talmud. I know what it says. But by the way, you can read about it in the book Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma by Reverend Ted Pike. We also, you know, for a long time offered the book by Dr. Israel Shahak, the professor from Hebrew University, one of the most renowned historians in the world. And he exposed and unmasked the same thing. He was Jewish. The book by Ilan Pappy, by the way, he's one of the greatest historians in the world, and he's a Jew. You see, my friends, there are a few Jews, just like in the days of Jesus. Jesus chose some who were Jews, most of them, in fact, to be his disciples. But the vast majority of Jews will go along with the cleansing of planet Earth because they've been told they're gods. They've been told they're Jews and they're the divine nation. Only they are God's chosen people and they have the right to kill, to rape, to take people's property. And to hell with the Old Testament, say the rabbis in their private councils. Please, order these two books. You'll know what I'm talking about. You'll understand then. I don't care about the evangelical churches and their lies and propaganda. I've never met more than the pastors that even know true history. I've gone all over the United States, and I cannot count on one hand, my five fingers, the pastors that know about these things. And I want to tell you something else, friends, while I'm on a tantrum right now, while I'm on a rant. I have no respect for patriot talk show hosts, radio programs, newsletters, websites, or whatever, who for fear of the Jews keep quiet about this. My friends, listen to me. Silence makes of men cowards. Silence makes of men cowards. You radio talk show host, you know who you are.
Well, I might be cut off of mainline radio shows or programs. The Jews may cut me off. I mean, I'm on a lot of radio stations now. They may cut me off.
You fear the Jews more than you do God. That's your problem. And you're going to pay for it.
More than you know. The price is going to be huge.
You may pay for it with your life someday in a concentration camp, in a gulag, run by Chinese or Mexicans or Russians, but controlled behind the scenes by Jews, just like happened in Soviet Russia when Lenin and Trotsky were Jews and they did this to all these people. 66 million perished
in Palestine. 1 million people expelled from their homes, their businesses, their farms,
driven out into the desert without food, without water, with nothing. Many of them killed, bodies stuffed down wells, little girls raped, and then their heads cut off. Israeli soldiers running around with the actual severed heads of old men, hollering and dancing and celebrating the death of the Arabs. Look, a head! And they all cheered the Jewish troops. It's true. Read these books. The ethnic cleansing of Palestine. And it was planned by the Jews. They had Plan D. Plan D. It was all set up in Tel Aviv. Their leader, Ben-Gurion, David Ben-Gurion, and the other monsters, they set out a plan. You've heard about the Nazi plan, baloney. Read about this plan. The Jews met at the Red House. They even call it the Red House because they were all communists in Tel Aviv. And they mapped out a plan. And their spies, their intelligence units had mapped out every village. They knew exactly where they were going and how many people lived there. They even had the names of all the people, the villages and towns. They drove out 1 million and killed, no doubt, over 100,000. They're taking your name down now, friends. What do you think Big Brother's doing? They're taking names. There's going to be a roll call someday, and they're going to round you up. Just the way the Jews did the Palestinians. And they're going to take you away the way they did them. If they don't just go ahead and shoot you and murder you and rape all your family, including little boys. Nowadays, though, they'll do it just to get your body parts. Because the Jews are the biggest perpetrators in the world, criminals harvesting body parts of Palestinians and selling them to hospitals. You need a new heart. You need a new kidney. You need a new lung. Go to an American hospital and you might just get one from a little boy from Palestine that they murdered over there, and they put it in a frozen icebox and shipped it by jet to America because one heart is worth $100,000 to the Jews being sold to an American hospital. You say, Tex, that's not happening. Shut up! Read about it. Google it up. Harvesting of body parts by Israel. Read about it. Google it up on the internet. You'll see. You'll see what I mean.
$20 for each of these books, $5 shipping and handling for each. Ilan Pappi's The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, or Ted Pack's Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. Please phone us here during the work week at 1-800, that's toll-free now, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also call us on our regular line, and that would be area code 512-263-9780. Or online at powerofprophecy.com. You can write to us, send us a check or money order or cash. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program. I'm Tex Martin. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, talking about a powerful subject today, the ethnic cleansing. That's the genocide solution that the Jews had. This genocide solution.
You know, I wish I just had time to read to you just a little bit about the stuff that went on in Israel. You see, at the time World War II ended, Palestine was some 85% Arab. The Jews were only 5% of the people, by the way. And then they also had many Christians there. The Jews were only 5% of the people. The Palestinians were unorganized. They really had no army. They didn't have many good policemen. They were just like lambs ready for slaughter. When the Jews came in from Russia, the Jews came in from Europe, Eastern and Western Europe, and they all said, we shall take that land. We shall kill. We shall expel. Yeah, they committed genocide, ethnic cleansing. They had arms from Britain. They had armaments from Russia. And they had some from the United States. Because Harry Truman had sold out, our president sold out to the Jews. He and Stalin got together and agreed to diplomatically recognize Israel in 1948. Within minutes of each other, the commies of Russia's Stalin in the Kremlin and our Harry Truman, 33rd degree Mason, Jewish Zionist supporter in the White House, he had already said, he had taken $2 million bribe, Truman did, from Bernard Baruch, the Manhattan, New York financier for his political campaign. So he had a bribe. He had to do what they wanted him to do. So Britain under Winston Churchill and America under Truman and Russia under Stalin all got together and agreed that the Jews could go in there and drive out the innocent Palestinians who had no guns, had no army, no nothing. I know that's not what you read in history books. There's a lot of lying history. No wonder the great industrialist Henry Ford, who invented the assembly line, Ford Motor Company, said history is bunk. This book by Elon Pappy will tell you that a British officer named Wingate was assigned to help the Jews organize their military forces. Did you just hear me? A British officer named Wingate. And they brought in British sergeants that taught the Jews how to use bayonets to kill young people. On page 16 of Poppy's book, he gives a report of Amitzaya Cohen, a Jew, one of the Jewish warriors who went around to the villages and towns massacring people. Says Cohen, who took part in the operation, remembered the British sergeant who showed them how to use bayonets in attacking defenseless villagers. Quote, this is the sergeant speaking. The sergeant said, you need to know the elementary use of bayonets when attacking those dirty Arabs. How can you put your left foot in front? You need to know how you can use the bayonets on them. And boy, they did. Massacred with bayonets. So many. They had nothing to fight back with. Now, you'll read in this book by Pappy. Let me read to you the preface. It's entitled The Red House. They call it The Red House. The commie reds, they were all commies. The Red House in Tel Aviv. There, Ben-Gurion and his chief lieutenant Smith. By the way, David Ben-Gurion went on to become the first prime minister of Israel in 1948 after they had massacred and expelled so many of the Arabs from the land. Pappy says that theirs was a Zionist version of socialism. That's why they call their headquarters in Tel Aviv the Red House. He says, in this building, on a cold Wednesday afternoon, March the 10th, 1948, a group of 11 men, veteran Zionist leaders, together with young military Jewish officers, put the final touches to a plan for the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. They said, we've got to make believers of the Palestinians. We can't just make them leave, tell them to leave. We've got to go from village to village massacring, killing. Some villages, they would take 30 or 40 people at random, bayonet them to death, and then take and stuff their bodies down the wells. After they expelled, let's say, 1,000 villagers from a town, then they would put mines, bombs with triggers in them by wire around the perimeters of the houses. So if later the Palestinians attempted to return, they would be blown up. When they came across people who were sick, who could not leave, they just bayoneted them or shot them to death in their homes. When they came across a hospital or a clinic where there were sick people who could not move and get out, they simply killed them all. When the doctors objected, they shot the doctors. They didn't care. If a person said, don't kill me, I'm a Christian, they especially delighted in killing them. after they took them out and would do things like cut off fingers, cut off penises, cut off ears, cut off noses, cut off tongues. And then they would say, here, now you're going to meet Jesus. And then they would bayonet them to death, the Christians. Oh, yes. The Christians, too, were massacred by the Jews in Palestine. This wasn't the first time, though. I want to read to you from the book by one of the most famous historians in the world, English historian Edward Gibbon. He wrote a book that is still known today as one of the classics. It's probably sold millions of copies over the years, entitled The History of the Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. It's interesting. He says after the days of Jesus, the Jews especially became fierce, angry. For some reason, the death of Jesus inflamed them even the more in their hatred of other peoples, in other words, of the Gentiles. Isn't that what Jesus said? Your house is left unto you desolate. House of Israel, no spiritual character whatsoever after Jesus left. He put a curse on them. That was the end of them. There was no more compassion, morality, sentiment. They became nothing but mass murderers, killers, bloody thugs. And they are still that to this day because Jesus hasn't returned yet. His prophecy is still at work. Now, when Nero came on the scene, something horrible happened. Nero married a Jewish woman. That was his wife, a Jew. Nero, the insane Nero, the same man who had killed his own son, the same Roman Emperor Nero who had murdered his own mother, who had murdered one of his wives. Then he had a new wife. But she was like Esther of the Bible. She was able to manipulate him. He would do whatever she said, the historians have declared. And she was a Jew. And if there was one thing that Nero's wife hated, it was Christians. These pesky Christians must die, she told Nero. We all know the story, whether it's true or not. Maybe it is legend. But it just shows you how much Nero hated the Christians. Yes, Emperor Nero of Rome hated the Christians because his wife was a Jew. Some say he had secretly converted to Judaism. But it made him even more murderous, adulterous, orgiastic. He sent thousands of Christians to death in his circuses in the Colosseum. Did you know that Nero actually owned the land where the Colosseum was built? That'd be like owning the Superdome, where all the football games for the pros are held in America. He was getting rich off of holding his circuses and charging the Roman people to come see the slaying, the death, the torture, the eating by lions, Christians being sewn apart, being torn apart by teams of horses and the Jews. And the Jews then began. When they saw that Nero hated Christians, then their hatred was inspired even the more. But the Jews didn't stop with just the Christians. They hated all the Gentiles. They hated all of mankind. And they then began their dirty work of death and blood. Listen to what Gibbon says. I want to read to you what was the, what in his book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, Reverend Ted Pike says, was the working creed of Jews at that time in the days of Nero and after. This is from the writings now of Gibbon. Edward Gibbon, History of the Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. He says, from the reign of Nero to that of Antoninus Pius, the Jews discovered in themselves a fierce impatience of the dominion of Rome, which repeatedly broke out in the most furious of massacres and insurrections. They began to massacre people. They began to have insurrections, rebellions against Rome. Humanity is shocked, writes Gibbon, at the recital of the horrid cruelties which the Jews committed in the cities of Egypt, of Cyprus, and of Cyrene, where they dwelt in treacherous friendship. Did you get that? Treacherous friendship with the unsuspecting natives. Severe retaliation by the Jews against those who had assumed they were their friends began, which was exercised by them. to stop these murders on a mass scale of the Jews, the Roman legions began to fight this race of religious fanatics. For the Jews had become the implacable enemies not only of the Roman government, but of all of mankind. Listen now, what the Jews, you see, they started their rebellion, not just inside Jerusalem or in Israel itself, but they got their bands of murderers and thugs and began to attack Greeks and peoples of other countries, wherever they could go. Across the countryside, they roamed, marauders. Gibbons wrote this. He says, in Cyrene, they massacred 220,000 Greeks. In Cyprus, the Jews massacred 240,000. In Egypt, a very great multitude. How were their victims murdered? Many, Gibbons writes, of the unhappy victims were sawed asunder. The victorious Jews devoured, that is, ate their flesh as cannibals, licked up the blood, and then twisted their entrails like a girdle around their bodies. Another great historian was named Cassio Dio Cassianus. Gibbon wrote of him. Here's what he wrote in his historical book, The Annals of Rome, Volume 5, Book 68. Cassio wrote, quote, the Jews were destroying both the Romans and the Greeks. They would cook their flesh, make bells for themselves of their entrails, anoint themselves with their blood. It was a religious ritual, you see. And wear their skins for clothing. Many of their victims, Romans and Greeks, were sawed in two from the head downward. Others they would give to wild beasts and force still others to fight as gladiators. In all, consequently, 220,000 perished. In Egypt also, they performed many similar deeds. And in Cyprus, under the leadership of Artemia, there likewise 240,000 perished. For this reason, wrote Cassio, to this day, now this is way back, almost 1900 years ago. To this day, no Jew is allowed to set foot in that land. But every one of them is driven from the island or is put to death. They remembered what the Jews did to them, those people. And they said no Jew will ever come to live here again. Friends, this is why Jews have been expulsed, have been kicked out of Spain, have been kicked out of Turkey, have been kicked out of almost every nation on earth until the modern time. Because they were such full of hatred and vileness against Gentiles. And even in their holy book it says the best of the Gentiles kill, smash their heads like snakes. Have no pity, have no mercy, the Jewish Talmud says, for women and children. It tells the Jews, if you rape a Gentile woman, it is nothing. It is nothing. I have a letter in my files, a copy of it, from a Jewish rabbi to a Israeli soldier. It was written about 10 years ago. And the soldier asked his rabbi, he said, I am asked as a soldier, we're invading a number of Palestinian villages. When I go to these villages, we usually kill a lot of men, women, and children, even those who are running from us and who have done us no harm. Am I obeying the Talmud in doing so? And the rabbi wrote him back and said, yes, you are. The Talmud does not just permit it. The Talmud demands that you kill our enemies. And as far as the babies and the children, they may grow up someday to kill a Jew. Therefore, it is permissible. It is demanded that you kill them now before the snake is able to grow into manhood. Kill the babies now. Isn't that what Herod did? Round up all the babies and kill them now because one of them someday is prophesied to become king of Israel. Kill the babies. That's what the rabbi told the soldier. Did you know that the Israeli army even has a handbook for what to do with enemy POWs? It too says it's okay to torture, to kill, even unarmed men, women, and children. You're doing your duty. Did you know the Supreme Court of Israel has ruled that torture is acceptable? And this is what the Jews want America to have. Lawyer Alan Dershowitz, Jewish lawyer, he was O.J. Simpson's lawyer from New York, this multimillionaire, says it's okay to torture Arabs and other terrorist suspects. He's talking about America. It's good to torture, a lot of Jews are saying. It's because of the Jews who control the Bush White House that for the first time in American history, torture has become the official policy of the United States. You say, well, thank God they won't do that to me. I'm an American citizen. Don't blink twice at night, friends. When they come and get you, you will be tortured. And a court will say, it's all right. You're just protecting. It's part of homeland security. That's what the Jews have, homeland security. I wish I could read to you all the things that Pepe writes about in this book. It is absolutely unbelievable. The massacre in Dawame, just one of the towns that they came upon. Half an hour after the midday prayer on October the 20th, 1948, 20 armored cars entered the village. Soldiers attacked from the opposite flank as well. The people were immediately paralyzed with fear. Soldiers opened fire with automatic weapons and mortars, making their way into the village in a semicircular movement. They surrounded the village. Their aim was to drive out the 6,000 people in 1 hour. Old couples cowered against walls and were shot. One Israeli troop with a smile on his face saying, I want to try the submarine, as he spread one old man's blood. Children's skulls were bashed in. Men, women, children. Corpses were everywhere. Even those who sought to surrender were killed. Horrific scenes, writes Pepe. Babies whose skulls were cracked open. Women raped or burned alive in the houses. Their husbands, fathers, children stabbed to death. Nobody was ever prosecuted for these crimes to this day. But Jesus saw. Jesus sees. He knows of the thousands and thousands of Palestinians who have suffered. He knows your heart, dear friends. Do you care? Do you have compassion? Do you love not only the Jews, but the Arabs, the Palestinians? Do you love mankind? Paul said the Jews were contrary to all mankind. The Apostle Paul said it. Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate. Do you believe the Apostle Paul? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe the book of Revelation when it says they're guilty of all the blood that has ever been shed since the day when Cain slew Abel? I pray you do. I honor the Bible. I honor the words of Jesus and his apostle Paul. I know the truth. And today, you and I, as friends, as family, have shared that truth. Now please, go out and do something about it. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's my great hope, my fervent prayer, that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.